Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Now, every week as you tune in, you know, I get it. Change is hard. We all go through it. Sometimes we choose it. Sometimes we don't. But inevitably, change is hard. So to help you on your journey, I have created a free communication style assessment for you. You go to my website. I'll give you the link, and the link will be in the show notes. But the idea is take the quick assessment and really identify your natural communication superpowers, how people perceive you, how you show up, how your clients are reading you, all of those things. Flip side, you also get a report showing your lowest style, or the style that is least like you, which is a blind spot, kind of important to know as well. So go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA, my gift to you. And I do hope it helps you navigate whatever change you're going through in your life. Now, my motivational quote today is actually anonymous, but it was a really good quote, so I chose it. And it says, a quiet mind is able to hear intuition over fear. Now, as I was writing this introduction for today's show, you know, my mind is always moving a million miles a minute. And those that know you, those of you that know me, know that to be the case all the time. It's how I roll, right? Well, so quieting my mind is kind of difficult for me. And once I saw this quote, a quiet mind is able to hear intuition over fear, I thought, holy smokes, I have to use the quote for today. It was the right one. Now, in this episode, my guest, Larissa Popov, and I we're going to discuss why we undervalue ourselves and our intuitive gifts, and how we can develop our intuition to support us in our business and really just everything we do in our lives. Now, Larissa is a divine business mentor and self-mastery coach with a combination of 35 plus years experience as a former naturopathic doctor, college instructor, and spiritual teacher. She's done it all. She merges ancient yoga wisdom, insight, and intuition with a sharp diagnostic mind by providing business guidance that truly is holistic, supporting soul-driven coaches and healers with mindset and energetic embodiment, magnetic messaging, authentic sales skills, and soul-aligned strategy. So please help me welcome Larissa to the show today. So Larissa, thanks for being on.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I love your background. It's like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, right? You pull it all together, and that's your unique gifts, and that's the unique blessings you bring to the table. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just always so cool. The first time I met you, I was like, you did what? So it's just kind of fun to have someone like you on the show and to share your really varied perspectives on life and health and business and all those things. So first question, why do we humans, and we do this often, undervalue ourselves and kind of discount that level of intuition?
Okay. Yeah, there's several reasons for that. And one is that our tendency is to really be focused on the external, you know, that we're so preoccupied with what we see in the outside world, because subconsciously or consciously, we think of it as that is reality, right? Like our day-to-day tasks, our life, our home, our family, our jobs, all these things, and everything that's happening on the outside world, dealing with money, dealing with kind of the practical realities of everyday life, we get so wrapped up in that and we get lost in it. You know, we start to believe that that is everything, you know, that that is what life is all about. And it takes us away from ourselves, you know, in terms of ourself, our true self, which is inside of us. So having a really external focus, and you know, how that can translate even in specifically in business life is like, let's say you do a Facebook Live and you watch how many people viewed it or how many people commented on it. You know, you're focusing on the external result, like, what, you know, how much engagement am I getting versus what was the feeling and the motivation and the purpose and the mission behind why I wanted to share that in the first place, you know? So letting go of our overly fixation, you know, we do need, obviously we have practical things we have to take care of in life, but taking that external focus and turning it back inwards, and what is the source of all these actions? What is the source of all these perceptions? Another thing is that, you know, we live in a very fear-based culture right now, and everyone is looking for proof. Everyone is looking for certainty. in life. You know, we want evidence. The reason why, or one of the reasons why we value science so much, is because science is a process of measuring tangibly what we know. But the thing is, science is limited because there is so much that we don't know that hasn't been measured yet. And as you're probably aware, the pace of research is very slow and very expensive. So it takes time to bring all these things into tangible reality. And so our search for proof in life, our search for evidence, how much engagement am I getting? How big is my list getting? Are people really liking this? You know, our focus goes outwardly and we lose touch with what's going on inside. And then the other thing is childhood experiences, you know, traumas that we may have had in our childhood where we lost touch with our gifts. We lost touch with who we really are. And maybe we weren't valued or appreciated or recognized or seen in our inborn gifts that we have, whether they are intuitive or in any other capacity. Maybe, you know, it wasn't even okay for us to show up and shine and tell everybody how great we are, or tell, you know, show off our nice painting or our dance routine or something like that. And so we learn to deny and ignore them. And so we undervalue ourselves just because we've learned to kind of dismiss and ignore the real value that we bring to the world.
Yeah. And so, you know, all so true. And it's funny because I think the other reason we discount, we don't realize that our superpowers, everybody doesn't have it, right? So, and I'll give you an example. I was coaching a client, and the one employee, the manager was coaching, and I was coaching the manager on coaching skills, right? And the employee was looking to get promoted from supervisor to manager. She was a tough kid. So I knew I could be not tough on her, but I could challenge her and she wouldn't shrink and be afraid. So I said to her, look out, there happened to be a bank. And I said, look out there. Is there a client out there who's a business owner? Because she had to start to do business development if she wanted to get promoted. She goes, yeah, it's Mr. So-and-so. He owns whatever. And I talk to him every day. He always comes to me and I help him. Great. I said, I wrote down three questions. Larissa, I can't even remember what the three questions were. It was in the moment, right? I wrote them down. They said, go ask these questions. Let's see what happens. She went out, asked the three questions, comes back and says, you're a witch. Well, not a witch, but why are you saying that? She goes, do you know, I just got three new pieces of business. So I said, okay, let's kind of break that down. Why do you think they got the three new pieces of business? And she goes, every day he comes in and he always comes to me. I'm his favorite. And I would say, how are you, Mr. Smith? How's business? What's new? What are you doing this weekend? Did you get new inventory? Just basic superficial conversation. Whatever the questions were, you know, I probably said something like, go ask him, you know, in the next 6 months, is he planning any business, new business ventures or opportunities he might need financing for? That might have been, I don't even remember. Well, she asked the three questions. I got three or four new pieces a business. So I said, but that's the difference between you think you're asking the right questions and you're not asking the right questions. Now, here's the thing for me, Larissa, I wrote those three questions down as if it was nothing. And yet look at what it did for this person, right? And ultimately she did get promoted and started, you know, working with me and getting everything right. Right. What does that really mean? But it's things that we take for granted because it's part of our mastery and who we are and what we've learned, that it becomes like breathing, that we think, well, isn't everybody doing that? No, everybody does not have your uniqueness, your unique perspective. Like with you, all you have a medical background and yet you're on this holistic journey. Like what? But everybody doesn't, there's people who are doing holistic stuff out there, right? For business and everything. And then there's the medical people, but you blend your genius together so that you can help people just from a different perspective, tap into their own uniqueness, right? And stop minimizing what we bring to the table.
Absolutely. And that's why I think it's so important that we have people in our life support systems, coaches, friends, family members who can reflect back that uniqueness to us, because it's so hard for us to see it ourselves.
Yeah. And that's true. And we forget. And I just remember another client I had worked with. It was a big organization. So I had dealt with all of their managers. It was like 90 managers, all their employees. They happened to have a meeting in the headquarters. And I happened to walk in. I was training that day at this client, and there was a room of 100 people waiting to get in and what have you. They lined up to say hello to me. And you know what I still use? And you know what? Can I tell you, I was in tears. I thought, how am I going to go and work and train people? I was so touched and humbled and overwhelmed by their generous shares back to me of everything I had taught them, how they're learning and growing and their business grew. And, you know, their employees were strength and all of this stuff. And you're humbled, but we as humans, I don't think we do that enough for each other either. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really important to praise and acknowledge people. And when you see something great about someone, like, don't hesitate, you know, vitamin P, praise people and acknowledge them.
I love it.
And we need to spread more vitamin P around.
I love that. I'm going to add that to my vitamins in the morning, vitamin P. Mm-hmm. Next question. Why is it? Because intuition is another key piece of this that I think we discount or ignore or are unsure of. Or I don't have it, right? Mm-hmm. So why is that? Why is it that our intuition never steers us wrong and is always there?
Mm-hmm. Well, intuition is that process of, and we all have this ability, you know, that can be an obstacle for some people when they think, oh, other people are intuitive or psychics are intuitive, but I'm not intuitive. Yeah. It is an inbuilt capacity that we all have. It is part of our anatomy, part of our, and this is actually science back now too, like through the HeartMath Institute, they've done research to show that there is actually a physiological mechanism that relates directly to the process of receiving intuitive information. And that's, you know, kind of early stage research that's being uncovered, but, you know, it's a connection to another level of consciousness, infinite consciousness, that collective consciousness that we're all a part of, that exists in every living being and every and all of the energy that permeates the whole universe. And it is as smart as we are, as educated as we are, it is way more intelligent, right? It has access to all the knowledge that exists in this universe. So it has limited potential. And when we can tap into that, we can access all the answers that we could possibly need and the best solutions for problems that we're facing at any given point in time.
You know, I took, it was last year now, and I took a course on Akashic Records and got certified in that. Not that I want to do that for a living. I don't. That's so not my thing. But I'm one that I want to break down my barriers the best I can to be able to tap into that intuition, right? Mm-hmm. And for anybody that doesn't know, Akashic Records is just our soul's library. There's no linear time, right? So your past, present, and future, it's all there for our guides to share with us and angels and what have you, right? So it's funny because and we had a practice with other students in the class. And it's funny how we discount ourselves. I said to the other person, you know, they would go first. And I was like, oh, that was really good. And then it was my turn. And I'd say, well, I'm not as good as you. And then, you know, why did I do that? Because I felt that it wasn't comfortable. It was a new skill, right? I hadn't mastered it. So it was hard. Well, inevitably I met with them, right? And I did my readings, and this was a really cool thing. This one gentleman, I did his reading and I kept saying, I don't know why, but the word, and I want to say the word love, I said, it kept coming up. It kept coming up. And I'm like, I was hearing it right from the divine, whatever. And I said to him, I'm so sorry. I keep repeating that. And I said, ask them not to talk so I could do my reading, because then I'd get distracted. So at the end, I go, that love thing. I go, I know. I think it was, I'm broken. Right. And he said, no, because it's funny. I met with a friend this morning and she did my tarot reading and the card that came up was love. Blow my mind, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, it was like, you're off the mark, you're missing it. We constantly put down that intuition, mm-hmm. even though it truly is the divine information that we're seeking, right?
The intellect, right? It's part of our own makeup, but the self, our yes. connection to divine consciousness is deeper than that. But our intellect and our ego is constantly judging, constantly scrutinizing,
yes.
and we don't trust ourselves as a result. You know, we have to quiet that ego and quiet that judgmental skeptic, inner critic, whatever you want to call it, that is going to come in. And that's a big aspect of developing your skill around using your intuition, is just letting the information come in without judging it at all. And it comes in fast, and it comes in before your thoughts. Like, it comes in so quickly. It happens in that space, that empty space before your first thought. And so letting yourself just be open, like, I'm going to trust whatever comes through. And that's why, yeah, when you're developing and you're practicing, developing your intuition, it's good to have that feedback and work with someone and do a reading and just take a leap of faith and, you know, take a chance and say what you're noticing, especially when it doesn't make sense. Cause that's a sense, you know, intuition isn't logical. It isn't rational. It isn't something that you can back up with evidence. That's kind of the definition of intuition, right? It's a knowing that transcends logic or reason. So yeah, learning to trust that is definitely a big part of the process.
And here's the thing, right? Everybody, it's not easy, man. This isn't easy stuff to quiet the mind. Like I said in the intro, right? That quote, I thought, like, this is talking to me, this quote today, but it really set the stage for the show because it's hard to quiet the ego, the inner critic, all those things you said, so that we can rely on the intuition, which never lies to us and is always spot on, right? It's always there for the delivery of the best for us as humans and for what we bring to the table. Why is it so important, Larissa, for business owners, especially, well, for everybody, but for business owners specifically, that we use all of these gifts that we bring to the table?
Well, you know, ultimately you can have success. You know, you can learn strategies and marketing systems, and there are people that are very successful in the world. But you might find that in the process of following someone else's system that it doesn't work out for you, you know? And the reason is because you are a different person. You have a different energy. You have a different skill set. And ultimately, you have to find your own way of doing things. And that's been a big part of my journey as well is, you know, it was great to learn all these different skill sets from other coaches, but ultimately, I have to find my own way. That's and that right. way is constantly evolving as I evolve and I become more aligned and more tuned into who I really am. And in order for us to be the most successful in life, and when I say success, I'm not just talking about money.
Absolutely.
Yep, I'm talking about fulfillment, satisfaction. Like, isn't that ultimately what we're here for? Like, we were born with these gifts to be shared with the world, to be used for some purpose on this planet to make a difference in the world. That's ultimately what we're here for. We're here to grow, to evolve in wisdom, to share our gifts and share our love. And that's at the end of the day, what really counts and what success means ultimately beyond money. But then when you follow your inner guidance, not only are you leading yourself to the most fulfilling actions, but also ultimately when you're in alignment with your highest fulfillment, you're also simultaneously aligning yourself with the prosperity and the abundance and the things that are going to take care of you on a material level as well. Like, it all works hand in hand. Yeah. And so a lot of coaches and a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, they're facing this pervasive problem. I see this so much among my clients, you know, not feeling not good enough. It's such an undercurrent and having that imposter syndrome. And it comes from, yeah, not recognizing your gifts, not valuing your gifts or not seeing your gifts. And bringing them forward and really owning them and saying, like, yes, this is who I am. This is how I operate. This is the unique way that I do things that is different from all these other people out there. True. But when you really know how you uniquely show up in the world, you can carve out that space and, like, allow yourself to take up that space in a world where you might see a lot of other so-called competitors, you know, people who are doing similar work to you, but realizing they're not my competitors because I am very different. I do things differently. I am different. And it's our intuition that can help give us those clues and guide us in the right direction so that we are finding our way beyond just what we've, you know, the book knowledge and all of the tools and skills that we've learned in a more academic sense.
You know, it's funny. And I think you behave this way with your clients as well. My clients, when I'm talking to them, everybody's different. They have a different package with me, in essence, including my corporate clients, because nobody's the same. And this is the fascinating, you know, since COVID, I've been dealing with business owners, which is really been fun for me because you get the results so much faster dealing with a business, you know, small business owner versus, you know, these $10 billion companies. So the movement of the needle is so exciting. You know, from week to week, there's these great successes. But this is the funniest thing I have found with my small business, you know, owners as clients, that they say to me, okay, what's your system? Tell, give me your questions that you ask. And the first, I have no templates. I have no, this is the way you have to do it. I don't believe in that. And, and right at the onset of the training with me, I tell my clients, you're the secret sauce, not me. I have the structure for you to, you know, the logic of having the right communication with your client, but you're the secret sauce, not me. So what, how would you ask a question? You can't become Connie Whitman. I cannot become Larissa Popov. It would be weird. And then now we're inauthentic. Then people feel that you're weird, right? And then they're not going to deal with you. And the kicker with this is every time I say, well, write down your questions. What do you, I'll help you edit them, but what do you already use with your clients? Let's just edit that. Don't do it my way. And when we do that, by the third week, they're making more money. They're making more sales. They're creating packages for their clients. For me, and this is what I personally believe, but what I teach, especially because I teach sales, right? Is every client that's in front of you is unique. Their situation is unique. Yes, they have a marketing issue. They don't know how to tap into their tuition, right? Intuition. There, you might have seen that before, but where they are in their life with their situation and their perspective is different than everybody else. So you need to address that individual and customize the solution for them right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And then again, hopefully to be a planning partner to help them longer term with whatever they're trying to build or create, right? So, but it's that, who are they and how can you customize it right here and right now? You have the potential to do that, not me, because my way is not the only way to achieve success. And again, I vote success as that joy, fulfillment, helping others. And then of course, getting paid for it. So yeah, exactly. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's exactly the kind of process I take my clients through. And and when they do that and they're finding that it's so much easier, they're enjoying it more, it's flowing more, and they trust themselves more. You know, they can trust their intuition, they can trust that they can back themselves fully and take those actions, take bigger, bolder actions and get bigger results because they know internally that they're on the right track.
Absolutely. And it's easier. It feels better. It's fun. You know, I had one client said, I love creating and, you know, I like meeting with my clients and coaching them, but the whole conversation to get the business, I want to be sick to my stomach. I feel disgusting. I feel icky and all of this and meeting her. I'm like, well, first of all, let me just tell you, you don't have an icky bone in your body that you're not pushy. So trust me, you'll never overstep that line because it's just not in your being. And then 3 weeks in, she was like, oh, my favorite part of the conversation is making the sale and creating the packages. Confidence, because she was her. She used her skills, not Connie's way, right? She used her way, Valerie's way. And here it became the most fun part of, she goes, it's even more fun than the coaching piece, right? So it's feeling that success and knowing that you can help this person with whatever your unique package that you create for them. Everybody is so into my template, use my template and it will work for you. I think personally, I have in my 20 years in business and my 40 years, you know, in sales, I have never been a template person because every day, every client, you think you're going to give your same pitch and inevitably it's different because the client gave you different information that you want to leverage for them to understand where you're coming from and how you can meet them. So how could you use a template and say the same thing day in and day out? It's craziness because it becomes easier because we're in the moment, we're present for that client and their situation. And that's when the magic happens because it becomes this beautiful flow and ease, right? And we fight that. Humans, our ego, we just love fighting that. It's crazy, right?
Well, it's because we want certainty, right? We want a sure thing. Everybody wants a sure thing. When you're afraid, when you feel insecure, you want a guarantee that this is going to work. And if somebody tells you, well, I've made millions of dollars and my clients have made billions of dollars doing this, then that's very attractive, right?
Yeah, because
it's very practical.
They did it that way. I should do it that way and I'll get the same results. Exactly. Flag on the play. Doesn't work that way, right?
No. But yet at the same time, there are certain kind of universal marketing principles and strategies that work, but it's just a matter of starting with that inspired idea and then wrapping proven strategy around that. And there's so many different ways of going about doing that.
Yeah. It's nobody's cookie cutter, right? That's the other thing. Everybody's like, here's the cookie cutter plan. And I just find cookie cutter, if you really want your ideal client and you really want to serve, you're not going to use a cookie cutter. It's just, it doesn't work. Can you give us an example? I like everyone to hear like a tangible idea of a time when you used your intuition and how that translated into success for whatever that situation was.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of one of the turning points in my business where I started to realize how important it was to use my intuition in my business was, I'd been burning myself out doing all the things, you know, working with the business coach, executing all the strategies I was supposed to do. And finally, I went on a meditation retreat. You know, I finally took a vacation and I was on a silent retreat. So I was meditating all day for about a week. And, during that retreat, towards the end, I had a really profound and very clear insight about a specific offer, a specific workshop that I was to create, and then a program to offer after that. And, you know, that it was to be specific, it was around money mindset. At the time, the message I was getting was, this is what people need right now. Like, they need to change their attitude around money. And this is what, you know, the people, like in a grand scale, you know, this is about serving the world. This is not about the fast track to you making money. The intention was, this is about serving the world in the way it needs to be served right now. And to offer this workshop. And then after that, invite them to a deeper dive program with you, where we're going to do a lot of the clearing the inner blocks around our conditioning around money and the trauma around money and scarcity and all that kind of stuff. And so I ended up doing that workshop. I ended up offering it twice in 2 weeks because so many people were interested, and I ended up having my first 5-figure day.
Oh my God. Amazing, right?
Yeah. In terms of sales. But the thing is, the intention was so pure. It was just, this is what's needed. This is how you can serve. And then the money followed through me fulfilling my dharma, or my fulfilling my purpose and my mission. Yeah. And so after that, you know, and to some extent all along, I had been listening to my intuition to some extent, but after that, I realized the best actions I can possibly take are the ones that are guided through my intuition, and that it pays off financially, but also energetically in terms of fulfillment and satisfaction and ease and flow and all those things and fun to listen and wait for that guidance to come through when it's ready to come through at the right time in the right way, and follow through on those actions. And now it's every single moment of every day, you know, from the mundane, you know, what should I do next on my to-do list, to the title of my program, or, you know, what I'm going to offer next and what sort of a conversion event I'm going to offer and all those kinds of things. And that's what I offer to my clients as well. And I work with them initially in the early stages of working with my clients. I actually work with them to help them understand exactly and specifically how they receive intuitive information, so that as they're making all of their own decisions, as they go along, they can check in with that and know that, yes, this is the right decision. This is what I want to do going forwards.
It's like a muscle. Right? The more you use it, the better you'll get at tapping into that. And I'm going to say tapping into the intuition whenever you want, right? Because you start to formulate the inner workings. Your body knows what to do, like where to go, how to sit, whatever it is, for you to get those divine downloads. So yeah, I think that's incredible. What mistakes do you, and I'm sure you see repeated behaviors, but what mistakes do people commonly make when they start exploring their intuition or looking at intuition?
Well, one of the most common questions that gets asked is, how do I know the difference between my intuition and my mind? Right? My thoughts, my mental thoughts and my intuitive hits. So I shared one clue earlier, which is the intuition is before the thought. It comes in so fast and it's so subtle. It's before your thought happens. Another clue is that if you're finding that there's a long-winded explanation and rationalization for why you should do it. Like if you're saying to yourself, my intuition says I should offer my program at this time because this is going to be happening and that's going to be happening. And like, there's a whole explanation for why, that's your mind talking. That's not your intuition, because your intuition is very neutral. It's emotionally neutral. It's non-judgmental. It's like, do this at this time. You know, it's like, it's very direct. It's very clear, very matter of fact. And it's not necessarily in words. So when I say do this at this time, I don't necessarily mean that, you know, your intuition is going to give you those words. It could come in an image. It could come in a feeling. Like, there's a variety of ways that that information can come through to you. But it's emotionally neutral, it's clear, it's direct, and it comes to you in pockets of time when your mind is calm and open and centered and receptive to receiving it. So if there's a lot of analysis and rationalization, definitely it's not your intuition. Another mistake is when you're in fear, you know, to kind of speak to that quote that you shared at the beginning, that if you're in a state of fear, you know, decisions that we make out of fear generally don't turn out well, right? That we make decisions we make out of scarcity, out of lack, out of fear, or for whatever reason, are not the best decisions. And so if we're in a state of fear, the perception at our third eye chakra, you know, if we're feeling fear in the first chakra, at the base chakra, I know we're getting kind of pretty woo-woo now to talk about the chakras, but you know, we have our inner vision faculty through the third eye. If we're in a state of fear, what we see in our imagination is the catastrophizing. It's the nightmares, right? It's the worst case scenario. And so we can't really see clearly. And the intuitive hits we might be getting are fueled by that fear. And so that's why it's so important to, if you're finding that you're going down that path and you know that there are moments when you're feeling really fearful or anxious about it, don't attempt to tune into your intuition until you're in a calm and neutral place. So that's why breathing techniques is a really powerful way to get you into the present moment, to calm your mind, calm your emotions, and meditation. For me, like I meditate every single day, and at least once, sometimes twice, often twice. And that's how I get my instructions for the day. You know, I sit down, close my eyes, and sometimes often instantaneously, it's like, boom, 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 get the instructions for what to do, from business related stuff to what I should make for dinner, but it all comes through and I'm like, okay, but I'm not feverish. I'm not attached to it. You know, I'm just relaxing. This is my time to let go of the world. Like I said, let go of the external reality and just go inwards and just let go of everything. And what comes through, and sometimes nothing comes through, but that's part of the practice. It's a regular practice. And so, yeah, we need to get to that calm, neutral place in order to receive an accurate perception of that intuition. And then the third thing I would say in terms of mistakes is that there's some people who are really intuitive and they get lots of ideas, but they're not grounding it in material reality. So they're not actually looking at, okay, well, how does this idea translate in a practical and strategic way? Like how is this going to translate into the results and outcome in terms of business things, you know, on a practical level that I want to create? And often people don't actually execute, or they don't manifest and materialize those ideas because they're not looking at it from exploring the actions that they need to take on a practical level to take those ideas and bring them into reality and receive the rewards to come along with that.
I was in a meeting last night and with a group that I belong to, and we were talking about manifestation and business, and it's all professional business owners, right? And the leader, Michael Leely, I was cracking up because he said, you know, I could sit there all day long going, oh, I'm going to win the lottery. Oh, I'm going to win the lottery. And he says, and then you don't go out and buy the ticket. You ain't winning the lottery, right? Like, you could dream all you want. So you might have the download of, hey, you know what? Maybe go out and buy that lottery, and you never buy a lottery ticket. Go buy the lottery ticket. There's a reason you get that download. But you have, that's right. You got to be in it to win it, right? So it's those kinds of things. You're right. We get these downloads and you think, oh yeah, yeah, it's a great idea. No action. It's all about the action, right? If you hear an idea like today, you just shared three great tips of these are common problems, not the right word, but challenges that people face, right? Tapping into the intuition. And then you gave three really good tips how to tap into that intuition and just kind of flow with it, not attach to it, all those things. And we get them, we go, oh, great idea. Yeah, it's not going to work. And then we proceed to talk ourselves out of it. And then we never even put an action to whatever that divine thought was or image was. And then it dies on the vine, because if there's no action there, you have to create it, right? We still have to go out and create whatever that image is, mm-hmm. whether it's a community, create a speaking thing, create a document, create a song, right? Create yeah. a painting, whatever it is. But if there's no action, it dies on the vine.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be practical about it. You know, it's, you might, the way you interpret the intuitive message is important too, because it has to be not just grounded in action, but grounded in something that is going to be effective, you know, grounding in a strategy that is proven or that is likely to work, because we can have also very grandiose ideas that are not realistic at all that we could attempt to execute as well. So that's having right. that ability of discernment, and that's why it's so important to balance the masculine and feminine, the left brain, the right brain,
yes.
and use your intuition, but also ground it in something that is very realistic and practical.
right tangible, that yeah right yeah. Well, it's my favorite ideas, like Steve Jobs, when his team was coming to him and he shared what his vision is, and the team said to him, technology doesn't exist, and he said, we're going to create it, right? So but obviously he had the most brilliant minds working on the iPhone to create that. Remember the iPod, right? 1,000 songs in your pocket was mm-hmm. the whole marketing scheme for that, but the technology wasn't even out there when he came out with that. So again, but he knew what to do to create it and knew what was tangible. But so that's the innovation with the application. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a little bit of reality in there. We're out of time, but everyone, I know you need Larissa, more Larissa in your life. I always love my conversations with Larissa. Go to email is lpopovnd.
No.
So
it oh, Popov- no, it's a different email address.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my personal email address. The email address people can reach me at is larissa@innerfreedomarts.com. And I have a free gift for your listeners if they're interested in exploring their intuition further. It's called the Intuition Decision-Making Framework, and it's a PDF guide and includes a guided meditation in it. And it guides you through three simple steps to start connecting with and strengthening your intuition and your intuitive abilities in your business. And the link for that is innerfreedomarts.com/intuition and the letter CW. So /intuitionCW.
Intuition CW is all together.
Mm-hmm.
/ yep. intuition. Okay. I'll put that. And don't worry, guys. Thank you for sharing that. I did not have the free gift in my notes, so that's awesome. I'll make sure that the link is in the show notes so that you guys can find that as well. So again, Larissa, if you want to email Larissa at innerfreedomarts.com.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. website innerfreedomarts.com. And again, innerfreedomarts.com/intuitionCW. Did I get that right for the free gift? Awesome.
That's right.
Awesome. Yep. And I will post that, guys. Larissa, thank you so much. I love talking about this type of stuff, you know, because it's such an important part of business, of our professional lives, even our personal lives for that matter, right? And the brain tricks us. It's the little trickster inside of us, that judger that wants to say, nah, don't believe it, right? Come over here. I got a better deal for you. And that's what keeps us in our stagnation or keeps us from really shining our light the brightest it can be. Fear. It's and really, that's just fear screaming at us. So we have to quiet the fear, turn down the volume of the fear, increase the volume of intuition, and magic starts happening. Thank you for being on, sharing your insight and your perspective. Just so appreciative. That was a great conversation. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Larissa.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. No matter what change you're facing between my guests and myself, I hope our stories, I hope our ideas all help you move the needle to whatever that change is that you're looking for, whether it be financial or building your business or changing careers or finding the love of your life, whatever it is. I hope my guests and I provide those tips and strategies for you to apply today. I kept mentioning the word action. For me, it's always about the action. Take the tip, play with it, practice with it, use it, and see what happens. Information's great. Information that you do something with is even better. So I do hope my guests and I provide that for you every week. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I truly am honored to have you on this journey of change with me. And again, I hope my guests and I provide some strategies and ideas to just help ease that burden of change or that pain that you're going through with change and help you come through the other side stronger, better, faster, just more a shining light that you're meant to bring to the world. Thanks again for tuning in this week, everybody. And I'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Bye.